Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, let's puck it up to start the final hour. Gresh and Fourier today. 103 is the time. Scott McLaughlin at WEEI.com. He is a part of the hockey department here. In many ways, he is the
hockey department.
He is the hockey department.
Got some help. Got some help from Bridget.
Yeah. It's Scott, Bridget, and then whomever else wants to talk
Brian
pucks that
on the
day.
Skate pod, yeah.
Okay.
Razor Sunday Skate.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah, one of my favorite shows.
The Sunday Skate. Sorry,
we're still waiting for the Fourier call-in.
He's got to go to church in the morning, or else Mama Fourier will be hot.
I was calling in, and I noticed that Razor was not on. And he made up some lame excuse about something to do with his kids. I don't know why they would need all this attention.
Oh, yeah.
It makes no sense.
My goodness. Well,
and you don't make cookies. The only thing, the difference between you and Bridget is Bridget, at least when she comes in, she makes cookies.
That's true. You wouldn't want my cookies. There's a lot of things
from yours that I don't want.
There's a Bridget.
There's definitely one of them.
Twitch will be all over the Bridget's cookies jokes,
I'm sure,
in about 30 seconds. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. So, Scott, let's start with last night, a concerted effort to lose gracefully. Was it about playing Toronto and Tampa in your mind last night?
No, I don't think they cared about the opponent. I think they just struggled to get up for that game. Last two games, really, I just think you're now into that final week before the playoffs, and I think, you know, motivation was hard to come by. It's not ideal. You'd like to win all the way to the end and play your best hockey right through game 82, but you know, they're
three shots in the first period. It's like on goal stood out. All I heard was Harry Doyle.
Yeah.
Three, you know, one, we got a hit. All we got is one GD hit, like three shots.
After the night before, they had four in the first period, four in the second. So,
they were trending that way.
The A game was not there until the third period. They did finish strong last
They were
night.
Great
they
in
finally,
the third.
Finally woke up, but obviously too little too late. I think they knew they're locked into the playoffs. I don't think they really cared all that much whether they were first or second, whether it was Toronto or Tampa. So, yeah, you try to, you know, build in some inner motivation, but didn't really seem to click for them the last two nights.
Do you think that's why Montgomery was so ornery post-game? Is that he probably tried to tell them, hey, guys, this is important, and they just weren't buying it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think he wanted to see at least one of those last two, see, you know, a really good effort to kind of close things out and give them something to build on, and it just didn't happen. So, yeah, I think he wanted to see the bounce back after Monday night's off game and didn't get it until the third period. So I'm sure he was a little annoyed by that. I think overall he still feels pretty good. I mean, the 2.5 weeks prior to that, they were playing really good hockey and beat a lot of really good teams. So you can't throw that all out the window just because of the last two games. But, yeah, going in with back-to-back losses isn't ideal.
Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, covers the Bruins here at WEEI. You hear him on the Skate Pod on Sunday Skate as well. So I know this is going to sound like one of those commercials of the, well, you know, prior results are not an indicator of future success. However, this year, the Bruins have been the hammer to the Maple Leafs' nail. Does that continue, or do the playoffs change things?
Playoffs always change things. You know, I think pretty much any player will tell you what happens in the regular season doesn't really matter when you get to the playoffs. The first two meetings this season, I put no stock in. Those were before Christmas. That's too long ago. The two most recent ones were early March. Like, that's not that long ago, and those were convincing 4-1 wins for the Bruins. So I'd say there's a little more relevancy in those games, but ultimately, you know, what happened on March 7th isn't going to mean a whole heck of a lot when you get to Saturday night for game one.
So, and that's the interesting storyline for me is, like, what's important, what matters, getting out of the first round. And that's why I feel like they were kind of like, I don't know, disconnected the last two games because of what happened last year. Do you think that they kind of understand, based on the fact that they were a victim of regular season success last year and they couldn't even get out of the first round, and here they are this year, like openly saying, so what? We all know it doesn't matter.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, it's tough. You know, last year they did finish strong. They won, I think it was like 9 out of 10 down the stretch. And then you lose in the first round. So it's hard this year to then try to, you know, get them to believe, like, hey, these regular season games matter and seeding matters and all that. And
when you like, did it last year, right, and you lost, and now you're like, well, then we kind of have proof that it doesn't.
Right, exactly. So, you know, last year, now I don't think they went all out down the stretch last year either, but they were so much more talented than everyone else that they still won anyways. But, yeah, it has to be somewhere in your mind where it's like, all right, well, last year we did win everything down the stretch and got the records and pretended we cared about seeding and all that and our record and wins and losses, and it didn't mean anything. So, like, why should we really care this time?
Since the trade deadline, I think a lot of people would say Linus has outplayed the Swayman. However, last two times out, Jeremy Swayman was in against Toronto in those games that you reference and only gave up one goal. So which way do they go for game one?
Yeah, that does. If it was Tampa, I'd say definitely Allmark. He's played better since the All-Star break, better since the trade deadline. You know, no problem. But because Swayman got those two wins over Toronto, that does complicate it a little. I think you're going to see both goalies early in the series anyways, whether that's a strict rotation or just making sure someone gets in. I do think they're probably going to split the first two games. I feel like that's the way it's been building. I would go Allmark game one still because he has been the better goalie for, you know, a pretty big sample size here of a couple months. But Swayman also was great his final game of the regular season. He was the one guy who showed up Monday in Washington. He was excellent. And Allmark was a little off Tuesday. So very close. I would split them the first two. I've been more pro-rotation than most people, so I would do that, but I'd give game one to Allmark.
Can Samsonov on the other side steal the series for Toronto? Does he have that in him?
I don't think so.
I'm with you.
I don't see anything in his history and his track record this season that would indicate that. He was good against Tampa in the first round last year. The Leafs finally get over that first-round hump, right? They finally won a playoff series last year. Then in the second round, he ends up getting pulled. They go to Joe Wall, and
he was not a wall.
No, he was okay. He wasn't the problem. But, yeah, Samsonov lost that job last year. He lost it at times this season. It looked like Wall was again going to be their starter. They even tried Martin Jones for a little bit. It looks like it's Samsonov's job again now, but he hasn't been very good this season. So I don't think he's the kind of goalie that can steal a series, but any NHL goalie is capable of getting hot at the right time, but he hasn't done it.
So we're talking to Scott McLaughlin, our WEEI super hockey nerd. I'm going to call you my super right. hockey nerd.
That's, I mean,
well, that's a compliment. Know. I feel like people who cover hockey are kind of nerdish
in a way. How
about
the head of the hockey department here at WEEI? It sounds so much better.
Which
than,
one would you like
hey,
on a
nerd?
Wait, Scott, do I ever roll in and be like, nerd?
Never happened.
I feel like it's a compliment.
I'm fine with nerd. I'm also fine with dork. I know, you know, that's popular around these parts.
We don't besmirch the word dork on WEEI because our great friend Keith Rich Keefe. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at this game, okay, so I guess the so much been made of the goalie situation. I guess it just is what it is, and it feels like it's such an outlier because no other teams do this. And if no other teams are doing it, what makes anyone think that this is the right way to go about their business? Like, I feel like it's not going to go away because they're going to continually rotate these guys. I personally think they should pick a guy and tell everybody else to get out of the way.
Well, they tried doing that last year and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. They tried riding Linus Allmark and he struggled as the series went on.
You think it's because he didn't know that there was a rotation coming or?
No, he was dealing with, you know, some sort of minor ailment as well, but, you know, ultimately he wasn't able to carry them through a series and they had to go to Swayman cold for game seven. So I think, you know, based on everything we've heard from Montgomery this year, he feels like that was a mistake last year. You know, I asked him probably a month and a half ago, could you do what you did last year, which was rotate right to the end of the regular season and then ride one guy in the playoffs? And without directly saying it, he basically said, like, we learned that it's tough if you're rotating all year to then ride one guy. So I don't think they're going to try to do that, at least not to start. Now, if they start rotating and one guy is much better than the other, then yeah, absolutely. End the rotation, ride the hotter hand. But to start, I do think they're going to rotate.
Where are you at on Pat Maroon, his health, and what could be his impact in this series, given that you got tough guy Reeves on the other side for Toronto?
Yeah, I feel like that'll be, you know, it's a fun storyline for fans. Watch those two guys who have been doing this kind of role for so long.
Give me one fight, game one, get it out of the system, and then let's go play hockey, right?
Yeah, ultimately, in terms of on-ice impact, probably fairly minor for both guys. You know, they're playing limited minutes, fourth line type role. But, you know, for the Bruins, I think you hope Maroon's impact is more than just, oh, he can go battle with Ryan Reeves.
He's like a beefer, right? No, you want get something out of the guy.
Yeah, you want Pat Maroon helping that fourth line generate offense, hold on to pucks down low. You've seen that from him. It's only been two games, but you've seen him do that a couple times where he gets that puck down low up against the end boards, and he just doesn't let go, and he just holds on to it and eventually, you know, moves it out to someone who's there to support him, and you just get more zone time, and that just helps build momentum. It helps kill the other team's momentum. So he has a more important role to play than, hey, you know, let's hope he fights Ryan Reeves at some point. Like, no, Maroon can actually do other things to help this team, even in a fairly limited role minutes-wise.
So other than the hockey rotation, which you mentioned how he, you know, probably, you know, said that he kind of regrets, you know, changing course once the playoffs started, what other lessons from last season do you think he will take and change going into this postseason?
I think one big one has to be a willingness to just flip pucks out of the defensive zone. The Bruins want to exit the D zone with possession. They want to skate it out or pass it out, and that's great. That leads to better transition, leads to more offense at the other end. Most teams want to do that. But in the playoffs, when you're facing a good forecheck, when you're under pressure, that can also lead to a lot more turnovers, and that really bit them last year against Florida. They kept trying to make plays out of the zone. Too many turnovers. Panthers made them pay, put in the back of the net. Don't take those chances. If you're under pressure, if that play's not there, that's been there in the regular season, just flip it out to the neutral zone and live to fight another day. Like, Razor always calls it punting, and that's exactly what it is. It's like play field position. Like, just get it out, regroup, go fight for it. Don't commit those D-zone turnovers. That is such a killer in the playoffs. If you're just giving away chances that immediately lead to a scoring chance, like, that's it's a recipe for doom.
Hey, last thing for you. Does Florida have what it takes to beat Tampa, or is it more the other way around? Because stylistically, these teams are very different. How do you see that Florida-Tampa series?
I like Florida in that series. They're a much better 5-on-5 team, and that's actually why I feel like I'm in the minority in this. I would have preferred Tampa over Toronto in the first round.
Interesting.
The Lightning have not been a good 5-on-5 team this year. They are 26th in the NHL in 5-on-5 goal differential. Like, they have struggled all year. Now they have the best power play in the league, so if you put them on the power play, they can make you pay. But I think playoffs tend to be more 5-on-5. That tends to be a bigger part of success than special teams. So I'll take the Panthers there. I think they're just a better all-around team. You know, Andrei Vasilevsky has not been himself this year. It's been the worst season of his career coming back from hip surgery. So we'll see. You know, I would take the – nothing would shock me because the Lightning obviously have that core that's done it so many times.
Oh, and I got PTSD with them.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
why I was like, okay, let them go. Let Florida go deal with them.
That's understandable, but I do think the Panthers are a better all-around team.
All right, you can
good job.
You can check out the skate pod.
I
also,
learned a lot.
You'll get your hockey talk at 10 a.m. on Sundays as well.
And 9 a.m., 2 hours, 9 a.m.
Oh, 9 a.m.
Wow, so it'll be, like, it'll
Sorry.
Be a post-game, really, is what it'll
yeah,
be.
Basically. Yeah, basically. Yeah, no sleep. I think we're going to have an 8 p.m. star for game one, so that's That'll be a late night right into the 9 a.m. Sunday.
I love it.
You and Razor just flop right here, you know.
Yeah.
And Bridget will
Sunday.
Bring in some cookies. It'll wake you up at 8:30. There you go.
Bridget's cookies.
Oh, man. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate your brother.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And by the way, Jack Edwards, who announced his retirement yesterday, leads a segment full of people who are hanging it up next, but a guy who will never hang it up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
125 with Gresh and Fourier, and we are going to take a look at some of those who are walking away from in front of a microphone. But I was just, boys, I popped open my, my work email and, I got an email from Zoom. I didn't realize that, someone left me a voicemail here in the building. Now, there used to be the day where you'd like go to a desk and it would say, you know, here's your little phone and it would have your name on it and you can go over there and you just probably saved your like voicemail thing or whatever, you know, star, ba ba ba. Hey, hold the old handset to your ear. Now, that was somebody who called my personal phone. It was a Bills fan who can eat it, and they are, and that's great. I love it that those idiots are suffering out there, especially that guy in Rochester who called me. But I got I don't even know if I called a nasty gram, but somebody didn't like a political comment I made earlier and went through the ways of calling the front desk to be able to leave a voicemail message.
$1.2 trillion.
Well, yeah, were we even talking about that led us to a Biden comment?
Well, I said Belichick might save the election because there are guys on each side that people don't really feel great about voting for.
The biggest
and
dog
that guy
whistle,
got all upset at me.
The biggest
There's
dog
no
whistle.
Strategy. I have no strategy.
The biggest dog whistle in any radio show and in any city is Biden Trump.
It almost
you
feels
go
like
either way.
You like grab, you know, like those old Ricola commercials where they're standing there on the side of the hill with the horn and
yeah, Ricola.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what exactly right. All you have to do is
can we
what's going on with the Patriots?
Donald Trump. There you go. Somebody will call. Or Sleepy Joe. Somebody gets upset. It's pretty. No, it's just
can
wicked
you play
funny.
That? Can you play that? You should just play it right
can
now.
Can I? I don't think I can.
He didn't curse at you, did he?
No. It was just the. Hold on. I don't even. I don't think I can get this down to my speaker. I probably should do it the right way and send it to Nick. But it's just
the
a.
Right way.
Oh, your commentary. It was bad. It's just like
no. The line I heard, classic.
Oh yeah,
stick to sports.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
can
right.
You please talk sports?
Uh-huh. There you go. That's
talk right. Sports.
If I agreed with you politically, I'd be willing to sit around and listen to all of it. But
visit vaccines.com.
But because I don't, and God forbid you made fun of someone I voted for. In case you haven't figured it out, I make fun of both of them because they are both make funnable.
The one thing I love is that at least now, like both sides are
both sides are miserable.
Miserable, and both sides are being made fun of equally.
Came
which is
off with two words: made in America.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, good Lord.
Oh, man. What case is more intriguing to you, Karen Reed or Donald Trump in New York?
I mean, just can I ignore both?
I've done a good job of ignoring both, actually.
Yeah, it's difficult, though. I'll tell you that.
I know some people that are obsessed with that Karen Reed
trial.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, they plan their day around it.
It's weird.
They just can't get enough of it.
How about plan your day around, I don't know, life? Maybe work?
Work?
How about that? You know, instead of the
us,
right?
Us.
There you go. Even the guy who went out of the way to send a voicemail.
Which man, I tell you what, you got to be really, really committed to your point to go ahead and find the number, call it, because there is somebody up there that answers the phones.
There is, yeah. And then directed to whatever the extension is. I don't even know my own extension here or whatever. I don't think any of us do,
I don't
really.
Even know. Like, I'm trying to – I'm
sure our email. Huh?
We have extensions?
I think so. It told me on the email that mine went to, you know, 1-1 whatever, 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 whatever. But I have no idea. And I would dare say this gentleman was a Biden voter. The whole nine.
Oh, you can tell right away.
Yeah. Well, it was the, yeah, normally there is a level of veracity that comes with one side versus the other or whatever.
So
I mean, good
mean.
Grief. It's just amazing. So I just try to hurt.
You know what?
So when it comes to the politics, I just try to hurt everybody's feelings in a way, because if all you do is vote along a party line, you are nothing more than a brainwashed rube who's given up your ability to think.
Listen,
thank you very much.
I am going to leave you.
Now watch this drive.
I'm gonna leave you a very complimentary message this afternoon.
Let me tell you something.
Okay, I'm gonna send you a nice, sweet message.
If you figure out the number, I would give you credit for that. There's no way if I said to you right now, Christian, give me the main number to Odyssey Boston.
I have it right here.
Because you
took
Googled
me 2 seconds.
It.
Well, yes. What do you mean?
You weren't here.
You thought I would know that number by heart?
You
it
weren't
took me
here.
5 years to know our call-in number, 617-779-7937. They say, you know what? We're going to find them in a phone book.
Oh, look. There's Bill on TV. Oh, my God. Belichick is on with McAfee right now.
Look what's behind him.
Oh, he must be in the Nantucket house.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. What is that? Is that an SB up there? So there's 3 Super Bowl trophies. Actually, it looks like
no.
a fourth.
Is this the way he's going to be? All right, so right now, Bill is on McAfee's show.
Yeah, but he's got to be in Nantucket, doesn't he?
But is this the way he's going to be doing his? He's going to do the remote Zoom thing with the crappy T-shirt that's all loose and just...
yeah, he doesn't care.
He needs a girlfriend.
Hey, here's the thing.
He needs a girlfriend. He's a girlfriend.
Do you think McAfee's going to say to him, hey, Bill, can you tighten up the shirt a little bit? If Belichick sat down there shirtless, do you think McAfee would say, hey, Bill, cover him up?
Yeah.
No way.
Can we get right above the nipples? There we go. Good.
What they got to do is try to get Bill to get in the Greg Hill high chair. You know, like whenever I come sit in this chair, I have to like lower it way down.
He wants to look down on everybody.
No,
that's
you know what it is that he does not want to be like RKK and sit in the high chair. He's got to be down in the lower chair to make sure that you.
Well, see, and this is what you're going to get from Bill then. Like, this is what you're. I didn't think he had this in him, but this is going to be a weekly thing. The Manning cast, McAfee, maybe we can convince him to come on our show. Maybe it's like a whole little reunion. Maybe it's Ernie. Maybe it's Scar and Romeo. And maybe it's a little bit of Bill.
Oh, listen to you now. Now you're putting together a made-for-WEEI event.
We'll have it in Bermuda. And then I can convince everybody to go.
Yeah, that's true. You getting Scar on a plane to go to Bermuda, though?
If I tell them there's pickleball there,
bigger.
I think, hey, listen, there is a pickleball tournament in Bermuda.
Oh,
I'm
right.
telling you, I put our names in. It's old
right
and young. Like
water.
You be the old guy. I'm the young guy. That's the way we do it. I don't have to move at all. Just pop it a boop, but a beep. Easy. Easy. That's our end.
But meanwhile, Big Earn will be like, I don't own sneakers, so I cannot play Christian. However, I will go and get sunburned. Bill on McAfee. And again, I see 4 Super Bowl trophies behind him.
One looks like a Wimbledon trophy.
And then on that upper shelf, there's 2 more. And I thought one might have been an ESPY because those ones have
did win an ESPY for that top 100 show, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because those ESPY ones have like the big ball on the top and then it kind of gets sort of thinned out. And then it's just the way they designed it.
I do think it's funny, though. So, when Zoom became popular, like everybody stays at home and they do their hits from home.
Good job, Brian. I'm popping up on Twitch.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, because it's a mad flex, right? Okay, because your background basically is your reputation.
Is your brag.
Yeah, is your brag, right?
Yeah, that's why I have a studio.
And there's
so no one knows anything.
Yeah, and I do find it interesting that you could tell a lot about somebody and how they think about themselves based on their background of Zoom. Like, what do they want to portray to the world? Bill is pretty simple. It's clean cut. It's easy to understand. He's a winner. I'm a winner. That's it. real simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all these other people and look at the stuff in their background. They are trying to sell you something.
You know what Bill has there? Only half of his titles.
That's true. It's only the Patriots ones.
No, I mean, there's
only the
four.
Patriots Super Bowl. There's six Super Bowls there.
No, no, no. Those are not Super Bowl trophies. That's what I've been focusing on up top. One of those in the middle is an ESPY.
Oh, you're right. You're right. So, he's probably got another side of bookcases,
where the other four trophies would be. So he's only showing half of that championship hardware. Nick said that apparently Hoodstein will be a part of the Pat McAfee draft show.
Yep. Will he be in Detroit like we are going to be in Detroit?
I'm trying to listen to the video now. He said they are going to be live in Detroit. I don't know about Bill. I imagine he might show up.
I imagine Bill is not going to be at the
draft. He's not going to be anywhere near
that draft. He's not
going to
be at the draft. He'll be on.
He's got nothing better to do.
He'll be on the telly. Yeah, but it's beneath him.
He's gonna be so good at this. Now, I'm not just he's gonna be really, really good at this because you know if he say, all right, listen, hey Bill, we're gonna have you up for the draft. You're gonna talk a draft philosophy, you're gonna talk players and fits. He knows about every single team.
Yeah.
So there's not a better time to get him than right now when he first leaves the league.
Yep.
Most analysts are at their best the very first year. Because the coaches stay the same, the philosophies are the same. There's a history of their reputation, their tendencies, and so it's easy for Tony Romo to be good. He just left the league. He's been studying these guys every single day for 10 years. He should better well know what they're up to.
It is. It will be interesting to see how Bill kind of reacts. I do want to revisit that whole Brady thing that we were talking about with Andy Hart at some point, maybe tomorrow.
About which part of that?
About Brady and the broadcasting and the money and all that. I think Brady kind of needs to do this.
Oh, my God, yes.
No, but I'm talking about for the dough.
Why? Because of his divorce?
Well, there's a little bit of that. There's the failed business stuff. And again, Brady has billion-dollar dreams. That's the difference.
Wait, what about his? So TB12 falls, right? You think he's even bankrupt?
No. I'm not saying he's bankrupt. What I'm saying is that he has caviar dreams on a regular man's salary relative to what he wants to do. Brady's a guy
who wants to be Jordan.
So hold on. Yeah. Okay. Think about this. He gets $18 million a year from Fox. Okay, that keeps him in the public light. So say he can make another $12 million in endorsements, right? So there's $30 million a year right there. Over 10 years, that's $300 million. That doesn't even buy him the piece of the Raiders that he wants. There's your difference.
Okay.
So when people look at Brady, and it's the whole, oh, he's got it. Brady ain't broke, but Brady also can't get in the club that he wants to get into, which is why I say, because if he's got to be able to go to someone, which in reality, if you're the NFL owners, wouldn't you just say, well, why am I messing with you? I know you're Tom Brady, but if you got somebody that's going to back you, why aren't I just welcoming the backer into the ownership group?
Yeah, and I think you're right about this, too. It is interesting because it's really hard when you reach his level, Jordan, Bird, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Tom Brady, for your post-career endeavors to match your professional sports career, right? It is almost impossible for guys like Brady, Jordan, LeBron, for their post-career job work opportunities to match their athletic career. It's so much harder. But Jordan's done it. LeBron's doing it in real time. Magic Johnson has absolutely done it.
Now, okay. The difference with Jordan is he's getting about $100 million a year from Nike well into retirement that has made him a multi-billionaire, which is why he jumped into the NASCAR world, which is why he
discretionary Jordan, income to play with some
right,
other sports.
And so you know what? So there's a great example of Michael Jordan became so big that he's now getting $100 million a year from Nike because of the brand. Brady tried to build a brand. And you, like you just said, it hit the cutting room floor. So Jordan, who can own a team because he's got, like you said, $100 million liquid coming in every year, minus all the other stuff he's already invested in. He's 60, Brady's 45. You know, that's one of those where if Tom Brady woke up with Michael Jordan's money, he'd be able to live his dreams. The other way, Michael Jordan would be like, hell, I guess I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life.
If he is, I love this aspect of him, because if you do believe that Brady was obsessed not just with breaking, the amount of championships for, he wants the most championships in any sport. So the whole line was like, I want more than Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I want more championships in football than Jordan had in basketball. That is the way he thinks. He's wired like that. So he is going to want to reach him financially too in the business world and, and entertainment, whatever it is, he's going to want to be the best out of all of them. So he's going to have to start comparing himself to LeBron James, who has a production company, who is making movies, whose name is all over different projects, all over the place.
Who, by the way,
TV shows,
doesn't have enough money on his own to be able to own an NBA team yet, which is wild. Like LeBron, I would say LeBron's probably got more dough than Brady.
Oh, I would easily say that. LeBron's made, I would say, we should do the math on this tomorrow, because when I start watching movies, like the kids' movies and all these other sports movies, they will tag it with the production company, and LeBron James' name is all over it. Like, Steph Curry is another guy that's trying to kind of, replicate his sports life, sports success career into, like, entertainment with all the shows that he's doing.
Just in basketball alone, LeBron's almost at $500 million in basketball. Now, there's a lot of taxes in there and stuff like that, but to your point, LeBron was 18 when he started making real money, started investing early, started to have outside
probably
projects
lapped
and stuff
Brady.
Like that.
Probably lapped him.
The 508, I love this. You guys are stupid, LOL. Brady did not lose money in his divorce. She has more money than him. Really, brother? Maybe that guy's divorced. Because I was going to say, sir, are you divorced? Because if you aren't, then you really don't know what you're talking about. Because there's division of assets, which if something's got to get sold, you think you make money. It also costs you money.
Oh, you're bargaining. Also, you're losing this asset for that asset.
You got to go to
trading
court.
This one for that one.
It affects your net worth. And even though Giselle, in theory, would have more money than Brady, doesn't mean she has more cash on hand than
and
him.
And I would say, when was the last time she did a massive photo shoot?
Yeah, that's
like Brady
a little
was earning money into his 40s, and I don't think she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I would say to that 508-8 texter, that's not.
I'm also gonna give a coaching point to Bill. Look at the little green dot. He always looks like he's looking off camera.
Oh, there is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But then again, it happens on that show all the time.
Yeah.
He's probably looking at them.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's what he's doing. Yeah,
oh,
you
got
to look at the green dot. Look at the camera.
Well, I'm sure that the Doug Lane of the Pat McAfee show will head to the Belichick estate over in.
Yeah, who set that Bill Zoom up?
Nantucket.
He did.
Oh,
there's
no chance.
Right, it's just a camera computer, and he's got like probably a nice camera. And
would Bill O'Brien lend him Burge for 20 minutes to go
Matt
down
Patricia's
there?
Matt Patricia's in the background going,
I got it. I got it. Matt's cooking grilled cheese right now. He's off to the side making lunch.
He's feeding Nike.
Oh, man. Are You Done brings it home next.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI. Now, it's time for...
Are you done? Are you done?
Are you done?
Are you done? You done, right? You done, right? Are you done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
Jones and Mego coming up after us. Tomorrow, we will be at Fenway Park. 12:35 pregame tomorrow. So we got you for about 2.5 hours from down at Fenway. We will get to Jack Edwards and Mike Gorman and Vern Lundquist and John Sterling, because I do have a John Sterling tie into New England, and not in a way that some would think. But anyway, it is time for Are You Done? Billy Lanny, are you done?
I am not. Do you guys believe in psychics, tarot readings, and all that stuff?
Fourier, okay. I can already tell by the giggle.
No, absolutely not. But I'm filled and I'm surrounded by women in my house who are. I think it's the biggest sham going, and I love to go with them. to just kind of try to debunk and make life miserable for the person who is reading my aura or my chakra or whatever the hell they call it.
So this Michigan lady, she was on her way to a tarot card reading, stopped at a gas station, bought a couple scratch tickets.
All right.
Okay, during my tarot card reading, I was told that money would be coming into my life very soon. I tried to think of the many ways it could happen, but didn't even think about the lottery tickets in my purse. Later that night, she scratched a scratch ticket for $500,000.
Stop it!
Yeah.
Mere coincidence.
I thought that you were going to say, oh, so this psychic tells me I'm going to come into a lot of money, and because I believe in psychics, I'm going to go spend a bunch of money, knowing that more money's coming in.
She bought the tickets on the way there, got the tarot card reading. Tarot reader said, you're going to come into money soon. $500,000.
So does that make you want to either run out and buy scratch tickets or go get your palms read or something like that?
No, I want to do it just kind of hear what they say. I'm with Christian in that. Like, I want to sit down. I'm not going to say a word.
They hate
you. And I want to know what you're going to tell me.
Yeah.
Because I believe in those things. Like, they just take hints of what you say and try to build off of it. So if I go in there just stone-faced and quiet, let's see what you come up with.
And there are some generic terms and phrases that they use. If you're in a group of 10 people.
Have you lost a loved one?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I have lost a loved one.
Yes, I did. It's so easy.
I mean, to be fair, though, that's like psychics. Tarot card reading's different.
All right, that's mediums is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know mediums.
John Edwards of the world.
Yeah, but tarot cards are basically just mediums who use. Tarot card readers are just mediums who use cards. They do the same thing. Oh, this is the card that says you've lost something. It's not, it could be a dollar, it could be a dog, it could be, your wallet.
Yeah, most people have lost something, yeah.
You've had heartbreak. You've had
I sense in your life that you have lost something, am I right?
I did!
And that's me. You must be talking to me.
Where is it?
Let me
by your age, it might be a parent had passed away.
Yeah, I sense it.
You're 56.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. I sense that you played a professional sport and I envision trouble walking.
Yeah, right.
And do you have trouble listening as well?
Stop.
I feel
it.
Like you ignore doctors. I get the sense that you ignore medical help. But I was curious about that kind of stuff. If you grew that kind of thing, like I was for years, I worked outside at a cemetery, and a bird kind of went on my head. So, and what
Boy,
everybody
pooped
said,
on your head.
Yeah. So what everybody says is it's good luck. Left work, bought a $10 scratch ticket, won nothing. Immediately threw that theory out the window.
Absolutely.
I crapped on for nothing.
Yeah.
I would have at least a free ticket back. Like, give me my $10 back. Then we'll say, then I'd believe in it.
I thought you were going to say a bird flew on your shoulder and you were like, oh, that's somebody's, parent who was coming to send you a message. Go find Billy.
Nope. I was working at the cemetery. And of course, at that point is when I had my hat off. I took my hat off and just an army of birds flew over me. And one of them just kind of.
Were you mowing lawn? There?
At the time I was, I don't know. I was either mowing or weed whacking.
And 14, my old man got me a job, or 15, he got me a job, and it was mowing in a cemetery that he was doing some part-time work in.
I absolutely loved it.
Well, you know what, though? The guy who ran the thing told me, and I didn't realize I was going to get hit by an old Nana with a purse. If they plant the flowers, you got to run them over. They can't plant them, but if it's like a pot, you move it.
Yep.
Right, yeah, and then you can mow it and put it back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I would catch stuff for flag removal.
Oh, yeah.
So we would have to go around, remove the flags, then we have a pit and burn them because that's how you're supposed to get rid of them. And I would always catch it because they're like, hey, where'd the flag go? And the rule was a day. Like around Memorial Day is you had the flags up. You got 24 hours, and then we remove them, or else it becomes a mess.
So I mean, when those are the rules, right? You can't just run over the flag. So if a lot of people are it's going to take you all day to mow the lawn because you're constantly stopping and getting off, removing the flag, jumping on again, removing.
Well, you know
the
what
flag.
It was? It was like two separate things. So someone would go through first, remove the flags, then mowers would go through.
Oh, okay. So
they would be in like a John Deere, like a sideline thing. You could take an injured player off, and you could literally drive up the rows, and another guy could be out the other side just plucking them as you're
blocker.
Driving by them.
Okay.
Yeah. I worked in a cemetery my last couple of years in high school and all through college during the summer. I loved it.
Yeah, I got beat by some old Nana with a purse because I mowed over Mo's flowers that she planted.
Yeah, ruined someone's rhododendrons.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
But it was such a great job because in the morning I'd get there. My boss would be like, you're doing this, 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 and this. And I wouldn't hear from him the rest of the day. So I would literally just have my headphones on. Just
have your Walkman on.
Yeah, just like going about my day. I remember the most memorable day was when the Red Sox named Joe Kerrigan the manager.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
So I was at work and I was praying. I'm like, oh my God, be Felipe Alou. Oh my God, be Felipe Alou.
What a name.
And it was friggin' Joe Kerrigan. It was right after they fired Jimmy Williams.
That's right.
I was pissed.
Frog had wings, he had Bumpus booty.
Yeah. Oh my God, Felipe Alou. Here we go. Because it was, we had Pedro, we had Manny. I'm like, Felipe Alou would be the perfect manager for these guys. Joe Kerrigan.
What a letdown. Yeah. And that's it. We are done is never a letdown because we are Dunsky. Chicken Nick and Billy producing on the radio side. And
big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow. You're exactly right as well. Brian handled Twitch today, so we can blame him. I just needed a second to figure it out.
I know. You're looking for him like, what is his name?
No, give me it. I just needed a second to be able to figure it out and then say Jones and Mego are next. Fourier and I got you for 2.5 hours tomorrow from Fenway Park. Will we be recapping a win or a loss? Find out at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening.